This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
Imagine losing like a $100,000 deal. You get the email, your stomach just completely drops, and you know, you immediately open up a new tab to check out your biggest rival's shiny new website.
Oh, it's the worst feeling. You just start spiraling.
Right. You assume they beat you on price, or I mean, maybe they just had a slicker pitch deck. Yeah. But what if the data showed you didn't actually lose to a competitor at all?
Wait, really?
Yeah, what if you lost to absolutely nothing? Today, we are pulling apart a fascinating 2026 article by Jo Medico. She's the Director of Client Services at Double Dome Digital Marketing.
Oh yeah, Double Dome, they do great work.
They really do. And the article is titled, Why Your Real Competitor is Customer in Action. And, you know, the mission for this deep dive is to completely reframe how you look at your sales pipeline, your marketing strategy, and, well, basically your entire definition of competition in the modern AI era.
Okay, let's unpack this. I love this piece because the premise here challenges an instinct that is practically hardwired into anyone running a business. I mean, we are trained from day one to just obsess over rival companies.
Oh, absolutely.
To monitor their search rankings, reverse engineer their ad spend, and just stress over every single new feature they launch. But Medico argues that this obsession is actually a really dangerous trap. So to kick things off, I want to pose a question to you, the listener, as you're evaluating your own business. When you lose a pitch or a deal, who do you usually blame?
I mean, the default is always the guy across the street, right? We look at the loss column in the CRM and just assume company B swooped in and stole it.
Exactly. We need a fill-in.
Yeah. But the article points out that if you rigorously analyze a typical B2B pipeline, the deals aren't actually going to the competitor. They're just evaporating.
They just vanish.
Yeah. A prospect says something like, we've decided to put this on the back burner, or we're going to try to handle it internally for the next few quarters. They choose the status quo.
Medico calls this the rivalry illusion. And it is incredibly common among leaders, particularly CEOs, who are hyper-focused on scaling because, well, a rival is a tangible enemy.
You can point at them.
Right. You can measure their market share. You can critique their pricing model. Customer inaction, on the other hand, is this invisible metric. It is much harder to put on a dashboard, so it just gets ignored. Yet this invisible competitor steals significantly more revenue than any rival agency ever could.
I do want to push back on the idea that looking at rivals is a trap, though. Like, isn't competition the baseline of a healthy market?
Well, sure, in theory.
Right. So if I analyze my rival, figure out their weaknesses, and engineer my service to be, I don't know, 10% better or 10% faster, shouldn't I reliably win the deal?
What's fascinating here is how the human brain processes that specific 10% better scenario. Mm. I mean, we approach marketing like a logical math equation, assuming the prospect will carefully weigh the variables and choose the objectively superior option.
But they don't do that.
They don't. If you spend your marketing budget trying to prove you are slightly better than a direct competitor, you are forcing the customer to do something deeply uncomfortable. You are forcing them to do the hard cognitive work of making a really nuanced choice.
Oh, wow. You're giving them a homework assignment.
Exactly.
It's like running a sprint and staring so hard at the runner in the lane next to you that you trip over a hurdle in your own lane. And that hurdle is the customer simply doing nothing. Or, you know, it's like walking into a diner and being handed a 15-page menu with 50 different types of sandwiches that are only marginally different from one another.
Oh, the paradox of choice.
Yeah. Instead of feeling empowered by the options, you just feel exhausted. Contrast that with walking into a place that serves exactly one perfect steak. The decision is made for you.
That cognitive load is the core issue here. In a modern environment of infinite information, comparative analysis requires immense mental energy. It induces choice fatigue. And when the human brain experiences choice fatigue, the biological default is just paralysis.
It just shuts down.
It seeks the path of least resistance, which is to simply change nothing.
Okay, I understand that overwhelming them with minor competitive differences leads to paralysis, but let's look at the reality of why they called us in the first place. If a prospect is actively engaging with a sales team, their current system is clearly broken.
Right.
I mean, if their legacy software is crashing every day and bleeding money, the pain of the status quo is massive. Why does the brain still choose a broken system over a verified fix?
The article breaks this down into three distinct drivers of customer inaction. The first is perceived complexity. even if the current system is actively failing, the prospect looks at the proposed solution and calculates that the fix is going to be more painful than the disease.
Oh, like migrating data or retraining staff?
Yeah, onboarding a new agency, all of it. The friction of change feels heavier than the pain of the current familiar dysfunction.
It's the devil you know versus the devil you don't.
Precisely. Now, the second driver is a lack of quantifiable risk. And this is a massive failure in modern marketing. Companies focus so much on what the prospect will gain, but they fail to show them exactly what they are losing by waiting.
Oh, interesting.
If your proposal doesn't attach a hard, undeniable number to a delay, like how much revenue burns or how much market share evaporates, there is zero urgency to sign the contract today instead of next quarter.
Which brings us to the third driver, which the text calls the information gap. This is basically the Dunning-Kruger effect applied to B2B procurement.
Oh, completely.
The prospect believes they can handle the problem themselves because they genuinely do not grasp the sheer complexity of 2026 technical requirements.
They have no idea.
Right. They think their internal marketing coordinator can manage a global data compliance shift, completely blind to the fact that they lack the infrastructure and expertise to execute it safely.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, we see that customer inaction isn't born out of laziness. It is an active defense mechanism. Buyers are just bombarded with data, and their brains are desperately looking for a reason to filter it out.
Yeah.
Medico introduces this concept of the fluff filter. When a prospect encounters vague marketing jargon, feature stuffing, or what the author calls algorithm talk, that defense mechanism triggers instantly. The urgency just vanishes because the brain categorizes the information as a generic sales pitch rather than an existential business threat.
That information gap and the fluff filter, they feel uniquely dangerous given the current technological landscape. The way users consume information right now in 2026 drastically amplifies this paralysis.
Well, the environment has fundamentally shifted. We've gone from search engines to answer engines. Mm-hmm. And that is not just the semantic difference. It completely alters the psychological journey of the buyer.
Let's dig into the mechanics of that. A few years ago, a prospect would type a query into a search engine, get a list of 10 blue links, and realize they had to go do some research. They understood they had an information deficit.
Right. They knew they didn't know the answer.
Exactly. Today, they type a query and an AI-generated summary instantly populates at the top of the screen. They read 3 bullet points and get this massive dopamine hit of artificial competence.
Yes.
They feel like they have enough information to understand the landscape, which leads them to conclude, okay, I get the gist of this. I don't need to hire an expert right now. I can just wait.
It provides a very dangerous illusion of mastery.
Mm-hmm.
And the penalty for choosing to wait based on that illusion is uniquely severe in this era. The article outlines how a seemingly harmless 3-month delay in adapting to current tech shifts, specifically, the transition to privacy-compliant tracking and the dominance of generative search, can trigger an AI slump.
An AI slump?
Yeah. And crucially, recovering from that slump doesn't take 3 months. It takes a full year.
Wait, let's break down the math on that. Why does a 90-day delay result in a 365-day penalty? What is the actual mechanism driving that disproportionate punishment?
It all comes down to how large language models and generative search algorithms build their knowledge graphs.
Yeah.
These models don't crawl the web in real time the way legacy search engines did.
Okay.
They train on massive data sets and cycles. If your business stops actively feeding these models with high authority, validated content, like if you pause your technical SEO or delay compliance updates for a quarter, you begin to drop out of the primary entity graph. The AI literally stops viewing you as a trusted, cited node of information.
So you aren't just losing temporary traffic, you are losing foundational algorithmic trust.
Yes. Rebuilding that trust requires waiting for the next series of training cycles, reestablishing your data pipelines, and proving your authority all over again against competitors who never paused.
Oh, man.
You lose compounding momentum. In this landscape, inaction is not a neutral holding pattern. It is an active, accelerating step backward.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. If generative search is handing buyers this false sense of mastery, and the AI summaries are actively discouraging them from seeking deep expert help, aren't we fighting a losing battle?
It feels that way.
Are we just destined to sell into a market of prospects who read a chatbot summary, think they are industry experts, and stubbornly refuse to buy?
It is a totally valid fear, but the article provides a strategic pivot. Mm. You don't fight the answer engine, you feed it. The goal is to position your business so effectively that you become the authoritative source the AI relies on to generate those summaries.
Oh, I see. So instead of trying to outrank the AI summary, you want to be the citation link sitting right inside it.
Exactly.
When the prospect reads those three bullet points, the AI is explicitly telling them, this fact is according to Double Dome Digital Marketing or whatever your brand is.
That is the turning point. When you are the cited authority within the generative answer, you aren't competing with the AI. The AI is validating your expertise to the prospect.
That's powerful.
It proves that acting with you isn't just one option among many. It is the definitive, algorithmically verified path forward. You transition from being a vendor to being the infrastructure.
That completely flips the dynamic. But it brings us to the hardest part of this entire deep dive. If waiting causes this catastrophic AI slump, and our goal is to become the undeniable authority, how do we actually force a prospect to take action?
Right.
How do we operationalize this without sounding desperate, constantly screaming at them that the sky is falling?
Well, the antidote to paralysis is a complete migration from feature-based marketing to action-based marketing.
Let's dissect the difference between those two, because this is where the theory hits the P&L. Feature-based marketing is the old model we discussed earlier.
Yeah.
The target is your direct competitor.
Yeah, the old way.
The messaging is all about feature parity. Like, our software has 20 integrations, theirs only has 15. You are fighting for superficial attention, and as a result, the leads you generate are high volume but incredibly low intent. They just want to put your proposal next to Company B's proposal and hammer you down on price.
And action-based marketing abandons that entirely. You stop targeting the rival company, and you start targeting the inaction itself. Your messaging shifts away from feature comparisons and focuses entirely on quantifying the exact cost of the prospect's current delay.
Now, we all know the psychological principle of loss aversion, the idea that the pain of losing $100 is twice as psychologically powerful as the joy of finding $100.
Absolutely.
But knowing that principle and actually building a marketing engine around it are two different things. How do we operationalize loss aversion in a B2B setting without just making up scary hypothetical scenarios?
You operationalize it through rigorous first-party data reporting. You do not use hypotheticals. You use their own math against their own paralysis.
Okay, give me an example.
Well, the text provides a really powerful framework for this, centered on technical SEO overhauls. Let's say a prospect's underlying site architecture is failing modern compliance standards. If you approach them with feature-based marketing, you talk about your agency's proprietary auditing tools and how many awards your team has won.
And the prospect smiles, says they will think about it, and does nothing.
Because you just triggered the fluff filter. You talked about yourself, not their pain. But with action-based marketing, you create what we might call a bleeding wound scenario.
A bleeding wound.
Yeah. You analyze their traffic drop-off, and you present a single undeniable metric. You say, your current technical debt is actively preventing the crawling of your high-margin product pages. Based on your average order value, delaying this migration is costing you $20,000 every single month in lost organic revenue.
Wow, you attach a hard dollar amount to the back burner.
You make the invisible cost visible. When a prospect realizes that the status quo has a $20,000 monthly subscription fee, the entire nature of the negotiation changes.
I bet.
They stop arguing over your hourly rate, and they start negotiating on speed.
Mm.
They ask how quickly you can deploy, because every single day they deliberate, they are actively funding their own loss.
So what does this all mean? It reminds me of triage in an emergency room. Feature-based marketing is like having two doctors standing over a patient who has a severed artery.
Okay, I like this.
The doctors are arguing with each other about who went to the better medical school or whose scalpel has a more ergonomic grip. Meanwhile, the patient is rapidly bleeding out.
Yeah.
Action-based marketing is the doctor who completely ignores the other physician, looks the patient directly in the eye, and says, your blood pressure is crashing by the minute. I have the tourniquet, and I am applying it right now. You aren't selling the specifications of the tourniquet. You're selling the immediate cessation of the bleeding.
That is an incredibly sharp way to frame it. You are shifting your identity from a service provider to an operational necessity.
Mm-hmm.
And to sustain this model, you have to build an automated ecosystem that constantly proves this value.
Right.
The ultimate goal of action-based marketing is to hand the client a dashboard that removes all cognitive load. The dashboard shouldn't be full of vanity metrics or confusing algorithm updates. It should communicate one very clear equation. You spent X dollars with us, and we stopped Y dollars of revenue from bleeding out, resulting in Z dollars of net new profit.
You have to eliminate the guesswork, because any ambiguity in the reporting, any confusing jargon, just invites the prospect to retreat back into paralysis. If the math is undeniable, the reason to wait completely disappears.
This raises an important question, and it is the exact audit I want you, the listener, to perform on your own business this week. Open your CRM. Look at your lost deals from the last two quarters. How many of them are tagged as lost to competitor?
Probably a lot.
Now dig into the actual email threads and call notes for those deals. Were they truly lost to a rival who offered a better solution? Or did you label them that way because losing to a competitor feels like a normal, acceptable part of doing business?
Oof.
If you look closely, you will likely find that the vast majority of those deals simply stalled out and ended in no decision. If that is the case, you are fighting a war on the wrong front. Your rival isn't beating you. Your inability to quantify the cost of inaction is beating you.
That is a brutal but necessary reality check. We spend all this time optimizing our battle plans to fight the agency across town, completely oblivious to the fact that the prospect just quietly walked off the battlefield.
Exactly.
To synthesize everything we've pulled from the source today in the 2026 landscape, traffic and attention are just noise if they don't convert. You do not need more comparative features, and you do not need to win a feature-by-feature dogfight with your rivals. You need decisions.
Yes.
Your sole objective is to defeat the status quo by clearly, mathematically articulating the path to profit and showing them the exact daily cost of standing still.
Stop renting attention through endless comparisons and start owning the lead flow through undeniable authority and quantified risk.
Before we wrap up, I want to step back and just humanize the source of all this strategy. Joe Medico wrote this incredible framework, but she isn't just some machine churning out AI tactics in a dark room.
Yeah, not at all.
When she isn't acting as a proactive partner, figuring out these massive tech shifts for clients at Double Dome Digital Marketing, she's out living a very analog life. The article mentioned she is a fitness enthusiast who spends her time outdoors, at the beach, and exploring local cafes with her son.
That's so great.
It really is a grounding reminder that behind all of this intense data architecture and AI strategy, there are real people just trying to cut through the noise, build real authority, and deliver honest value to other humans.
It's an essential perspective.
Yeah.
Business, even in an era of generative AI and algorithmic entity graphs, is fundamentally driven by human psychology.
Yeah.
The friction of change, the fear of loss, the desire for simplicity, these are deeply human traits. Which brings me to a final thought I want to leave you with today.
All right, let's hear it.
We have spent this entire deep dive analyzing how to overcome your customers' inaction. We've talked about how to expose their invisible costs and force them off the fence. But turn the mirror around for a moment. Look at your own internal operations. What crucial, necessary business decisions are sitting on your own back burner right now? What technological shifts or structural overhauls are you delaying because the friction of change feels too high? And most importantly, what is the silent daily cost of your own status quo?
Oh, wow. Turning the action-based marketing lens on ourselves, that is a brilliant and honestly slightly terrifying question to chew on long after this audio stops. Thank you all so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the defaults, keep looking for the real bottlenecks, and we will catch you next time.
Until next time, take care.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows, all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
with 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at doubledome.com to set up a free consultation.